Welcome to Learn to Live Stress-Free. This is Christine Wright with Dr. Robert Wright Jr., your go-to wellness coaches of stressfreenow.info. Our featured guest today is Cheryl Benton, speaking about her website, The Three Tomatoes, a lifestyle guide for women over 40, and her book, Can You See Us Now? Cheryl Benton is founder and publisher of The Three Tomatoes, a digital lifestyle magazine for women who aren't kids. Having lived and worked for many years in New York City, the land of size zero 20-somethings, she was truly starting to feel like an invisible woman. She created The Three Tomatoes just for the fun of it, as an antidote for invisibility, and sent it to 60 friends. Today she has thousands of friends and is chief cheerleader for smart, savvy women who want to live their lives fully at every age and every stage. After running her own successful ad agency on Long Island, she sold her agency to one of the largest agencies in the world and spent most of her career in the New York City ad agency world. Cheryl is a passionate advocate for advancing women and girls and truly believes that tomatoes have an obligation to help other women succeed. For many years, she was actively engaged with the U.S. National Committee for UN Women. She was inducted into the Business Marketing Hall of Fame. She was recently named a top CEO by Smart CEO magazine and honored with their Brava Award. She is a frequent speaker on marketing to women and women's global issues and is co-author of Leading Women, 20 Influential Women Share Their Secrets to Leadership, Business, and Life. A wife, mother, and grandmother, her favorite title, she resides in New York with her husband and two dogs. Cheryl, welcome. We're so happy to have you on the show today.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be chatting with you both.
Yes, Cheryl. Audience, you are in for a treat. We have the lovely Cheryl Benton with us, and she, Cheryl, I am looking at the cover of your book. It is stunning.
Thank you.
So, audience, this Can You See Me Now, a novel for grown-ups.
Can You See Us Now?
Yes, Can You See Us Now, a novel for grown-ups by Cheryl Benton. This is just fabulous. And audience, you when you see the cover, you will see why I am saying this is an amazing book to check out. And Cheryl, just before we start off, before the call, we mentioned that there was an amazing event going on in New York City, that there's actually snow in April.
Yes, indeed. We woke up to 6 inches of snow this morning.
Pretty amazing.
And I was and it's not even April, and it's the day after April Fool's Day, so it wasn't.
I know, and I was just reading about in Japan that this is the time of year we think about the cherry blossoms, and so there's this new thing where they're talking about you may be able to have the cherry blossoms blossom in the fall, and I was like, well, we've got snow in April, I don't know, well, maybe we'll have snow in the fall. So,
yeah.
Cheryl, I want to welcome you, and it is such a thrill and a pleasure to meet you and have you on the show for the first time. So to start us off, can you, when people hear the term three tomatoes, they don't know if they're, what is this, a vegetable garden or anything like that, but can you tell us what three tomatoes is and how you came up with the idea?
I'm very happy to do that. Thanks so much. And yes, we have nothing to do with the vegetable or fruit, however you define a tomato. But in my father's generation, the term tomato, I don't know if you were a fan of the Mad Men show, but they often would refer to a woman as a tomato. And so today we would say, oh, she's hot. But in that generation, a guy would say, now that's a tomato. So it was kind of a wink and a nod back to a different place in time. And the three tomatoes was actually a term that was coined by one of my dear bosses, who was chairman of the ad agency I was working with. And there were three of us who were actually running different divisions of this very large agency, and we were great friends, and he had coined us the three tomatoes. So it just sort of stuck. It stuck in my head. So when I started this crazy thing that's been quite an adventure, I had spent my career in almost 30 years in the New York City advertising agency business. And I left about 10 years ago, and I had started a marketing consulting business. And then, just for the fun of it, I started this newsletter. And what really motivated it was that I was, you know, looking around, and I knew all these really great, smart, accomplished women who happened to be over the age of 40, you know, 50, 60, and beyond. And here we were in the heart of New York City, and which I like to call the land of size zeros and smart 20-somethings, which is great when you look around. But we were actually starting to feel invisible and marginalized in many ways. So we would have conversations like, you know, where can you shop and find something to wear that doesn't make you look like your teenage daughter? Or where can you actually go and have dinner where you can actually hear yourselves talk, have a conversation? So all these things are suddenly coming up, and we also realize, and I knew this out of coming out of the advertising world, that, you know, once you turn 50, you also age out of that very prized 25 to 49-year-old marketing demographic. So marketers aren't talking to you anymore either. So just for the fun of it, I decided to start this newsletter that was the conversations I was having with my friends. And I sent it to, and I called it The Three Tomatoes, and I sent it to 60 friends. And then it just took off from there. And before I knew it, I had thousands of friends. And they weren't just in New York, but they were actually all across the country. And now we have people actually all over the world who come into the website and read the newsletter. So we clearly had struck a chord. So it wasn't just women in New York City who were starting to feel this when they started to, you know, turn 50-ish and beyond.
Yeah, that is great. Thank you for that. I had been looking at your website because it's amazing the breadth and the depth of material you have on your website. So I came across this post from March 21st, and where you're talking about Facebook. I think the title of the post has Facebook ruined friends for us. And then you mentioned the wine chat. So as I read that post, what I had a sense of was, I have heard people have or say the 50-year-old question at other ages. I've heard people at 30 say that they're old, or at 40 say that they're old. So there are these other ages, or someone when they realize when they turn 21 that it's not like what they thought it was going to be. And so when I was reading your post, this thing about friendship and how people are on you using social media to, you know, in a good way to stay in touch with people or get back in touch with people, but how having these so-called hundreds or thousands of quote-unquote friends is not a real thing, and how that can move you away from your real friends. And so what I really enjoyed about your post is that you did an analysis, but you gave a solution. And that's what I want to talk about, is how did you come up with that solution? You said to do something fun, you know, like drinking wine and have the chat and schedule the chat with the real friend. So I thought that was a fantastic way to keep in touch, because I know Christine and I have experienced that. You know, we moved down to Florida and from New York, and we weren't physically close to certain people, and people that we had contact with regularly on a weekly or monthly basis, over time, it just kind of petered out. However, whenever we visited, it was like old home week. So can you speak to that, Cheryl? How did you come up with that brilliant idea
to use wine
chat like that?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked this, because, you know, but well, at any age, you can be in a scenario where close friends start to move away. But, you know, when you get into your 50s and 60s, that's starts to happen more often, and we have actually had several good friends, you know, retire or move on to do other things, and have actually, you know, left the New York area. And You know, and these are people or friends that, you know, you'd have dinner with every week or go to a movie or just pick up the phone at the spur of the moment and say, let's get together and have a glass of wine. So, you know, you're very connected. And when people start to move away, it becomes more difficult to keep that connection going. And you're right. The good news is that when you do see each other in person, when you have good friends like that, it's like, you know, you just saw them again yesterday because you catch up very quickly. But that connection is so important. So I have this one friend of mine who, you know, very dear friend, and you know, she would call me, I would call her half of the time. You know, we'd miss each other. You know, you would get voicemail and you'd have to return the call, and then it wouldn't be a good time for her. Or somebody's running out the door, you know, that routine, and you're playing phone tag. So he said, this is crazy. Why don't we, you know, do like we would do in the business world and actually schedule a call with each other and do it, you know, when we actually have time to really sit and talk. And since we both love wine, and that's usually when we would meet each other in the real world, we decided that we would do them at the end of the day. And we each pour a glass of wine, and we set aside an hour, and we have a great conversation. And it's close to being together, because sometimes, you know, we have big things to talk about, and sometimes it's just, you know, little things like, you know, what are you making for dinner, or what was the latest movie you saw? So you start to feel that connection again. So we try to do this about, I'd say, once every week and a half or so, and it's been great. And now we're actually, I've tried it with some other friends too. So, but I think the point of it is just making time to keep those connections, because our friendships are so important, the real ones, and keeping them intact is a good thing to do.
Right, and I think, you know, this part of, you know, of a relationship maintenance, in terms that there's some work required, that it doesn't matter if it's a sibling relationship or you had a great relationship when you worked on a job, that there's some work aspect required for it not just to be situational. Because I think so many people, you talk to them and said, hey, listen, you worked on a job with these people and you went out all the time for 30 years. Now you retired or you moved on and you never see any of them. It's very strange. And they said, well, it's not that I dislike that. So the thing is, in order to keep that going, there has to be someone that's going to take initiative, et cetera. And you have saw that. One other thing, Cheryl, from looking at your site, I mean, you've got so much substance there. You know, you have this other blog post which caught my eye. This is from February, and where you're saying beauty at any size. And I know you started off mentioning, you know how frustrating it would be for, you know, a person 50 years old plus to walk into a store and everything is at size 0, size 2, and nothing above a size 6. And so, Christine, I know when we've gone shopping in the stores, and we're both not shoppers, but she has made me aware of, like, oh, there's no point of going into that store because those designers, there's nothing over for a size 12 woman and up. So you've really, I think, hit the nail on the head with this post, beauty style at any size, because you have touched on a hush-hush area here about the belly fat, because we have some friends, we joke about that. And so can you talk about how did you come up with this? These are great solutions of how to dress in a savvy way, feel good about yourself. It's just amazing, because of covering the belly and you know, and then not looking ridiculous. I think this is great. And this is not just women have this issue. Men have this issue too.
Yes. Well, that was one of our style contributors who did this. We have fabulous contributors at our website. And the interesting thing you may or may not have noticed at the website is that We actually never mention age, but,
okay.
But people self-select. So they know when they come there by the tone and what we're talking about that, yes, you know, this is for me and this is for us. And certainly the how we look and feel. So many women get into their 40s and 50s and, they start to lose their sense of self. They start to lose their self-esteem around their looks. You know, they don't have this figure anymore that they had when they were in their 20s or 30s. And wrinkles, you know, all the things that start to happen as you age, and they just start to feel like, well, okay, now there's nothing I can do about this. And which is absolutely not true, but you know, we see so many images reflected at us. And you know, one of the things when you look at in any of the style magazines, and you know, a lot has been focused on recently about young models and the ones that are too thin and all of the photo touching. But what rarely gets talked about is the fact that when we do see images of older women in magazines, those have also been photo-touched as well. You know, we have all of these wonderful actresses over, you know, in their 60s and in their 70s, and some of them are doing, you know, makeup and perfume commercials and ads now. And those are so retouched, so that makes the rest of us feel like, well, I don't look like that. What's wrong with me? So I think it's really important that we build up our self-esteem and, you know, style articles like that that say, listen, you can be beautiful at any age and any shape and any size. And, here are some of the things that you can do that. I mean, obviously a lot of it's inside, but definitely outside, you know, in how you dress. So we try to do a lot of that and make us all feel better about ourselves.
Well, it's such an extraordinarily extensive site, Cheryl. You know, there's so many things that you spoke about that I want to touch upon. One of the things when you talk about image, it reminds me of an episode of the Jetsons television show where Judy Jetson is speaking to someone and, you know, the video cam comes on and she's in a face mask and curlers, but she has a little a picture of herself on a stick, so she puts that in front of her face so that you think it's the perfect Judy Jetson talking and not the one with the green gook on her face and the hair curlers. And I think that's the thing with images. Even though we talk this game about, women can be accepted in any size and shape and we're not going to shame anybody for how they look, but yet, as you said, all the images, and even of the older actresses, they're all airbrushed and retouched, so we're just accustomed to these Photoshop images and nothing looks like a quote-unquote real person.
Right.
And it's too much of an idealized image. There are many things I enjoy about your site. It's looking at it, as you said, you don't mention age, but it certainly appeals to me, whether because I'm in that over 40 demographic. But the categories that you have, the substance that you have, you know, as you were mentioning with Bob, you just have so many contributing writers. And to me, the stories are put together in such a thoughtful way that the site gives me a feeling of a sense of warmth and community. I mean, you started this from, you know, a couple of people, and now you've grown so large that you've created an online community, but it's also a physical community. Could you speak about, because this is your readers, your contributors, with the events that you have, this is more than just an online community.
It is, and in fact, you know, in New York, because that's where we started it, we do a lot of, you know, real live events in New York. And then over the last 4 years, we've also expanded into L.A. and San Francisco in terms of city-specific newsletters. And we also are doing events in those cities as well, although not quite as many yet as we do in New York. So we have developed a real community of of women, and you know, both online and, you know, through the events. And I think a place where, you know, women feel comfortable, and where they're meeting other interesting women. And that, you know, that was another thing when we did the very first event in New York. Actually, someone had approached me with the idea, and I was like, well, I don't know. Why would we want to meet each other? I think that was actually my reaction. Why would we all want to meet each other? I just want to send out this newsletter to people. And 100 people showed up at the first event, and it turns out that, you know, women do want to meet other women, and sometimes that's very difficult to do, especially in a city like New York that's actually outside of your comfort zone. You know, we meet people in work, we meet people here, and the three tomatoes, we also try never to use the word networking because I think we've all networked ourselves enough at a certain point, and, you know, we network for careers and whatnot, and this is much more about, you know, socializing and enjoying each other and really having fun at this stage of life. And if you happen to meet people that way that also happen to help you in, you know, other areas, and whether it's business or whatnot, that's all great and fine. But it really is more about the socializing aspect. So it turns out that, you know, women do really want to do that and meet other, you know, interesting women. And, you know, that's been another great part of this fun adventure that I had no idea was going to get to where we are today, but it's been terrific.
It makes perfect sense to me, Cheryl, because I think people are, we basically crave connection, and it seems to me that we are so busy in today's world, there's all this activity, but there's not the real connection, and I think people crave having deeper relationships and a true sense of intimacy and being able to share events over time is the stuff of life, that you can have a shared life history with someone.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, the website certainly, I think, contributes to this.
I want to just jump in here with something a little bit different. Hillary Clinton gave a commencement address at Yale University several years ago, and one of the things that startled me is what she said. She said, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't remember the exact words, but the point of her talk in that area, she says, if you're a woman, hair matters. And I just remember that as a soundbite. She says, you know, that it's different for a man than it is for a woman. And, you know, since that time, I have really been thinking about that because I've been asking women questions about, you know, shoes and beauty and fashion, you know, in terms of what they care about. And so my question to you in that light, you know, what the, you know, Hillary Clinton had said, have you found that to really be true, what she's saying, that for many women, the hair, or I should say not just women, in our society, that culturally, professionally, you know, et cetera, in the family context, you know, a woman can't come in the door with her hair askew or not in style, and whereas a man could. Could you just speak to that a little bit? I know it's sounds a little off topic, but it's something that I've been thinking about, how sometimes the stress that women are feeling, they've got all these other pressures, quote unquote, that men are not dealing with.
Well, the bad hair day thing is definitely a real thing, and you could certainly ask any woman that question. You know, I just think for so many of us, that's how we identify ourselves, and if you are having a bad hair day, it throws everything else off. And on a more serious topic about that, you know, the issue of women's hair loss is absolutely devastating. I mean, we've done articles at the Three Tomatoes on that as well, and it's a really deep issue and happens a lot more than a lot of women even want to discuss. But but that's real. You know, it's part of how we identify ourselves.
Okay, so thank you for that, and audience. On that note, we'll be right back after a quick break with our featured guest today, Cheryl Benton.
Have you been procrastinating about completing an important project or following a treasured dream? Hi, this is Christine Wright. I specialize in helping my coaching clients to lay out clear goal-achieving strategies. I show you how to quickly build your confidence and uncover and eliminate your habitual patterns of resistance and self-sabotage. Let me help you discover those meaningful insights that will get you to do what works so you can celebrate your successes. Go to stressfreenow.info/contact to let me know that you're curious about how to live your ideal life now. Again, that's stressfreenow.info/contact. Are you dealing with stress, burnout, chronic pain, anxiety, or unresolved grief? Dr. Robert Wright Jr., the Stress Relief Doctor, is an author, speaker, and stress management wellness coach. Co-host of the Learn to Live Stress-Free podcast series, Dr. Bob holds a PhD in transformative studies and a master's degree in psychology. He is the author of the first published study to show the connection between stress reduction, grief recovery, and nitric oxide spiking and the relaxation response. He has a wealth of practical knowledge which helps you to relieve the stresses of everyday life so you can live longer and play with your grandchildren. Work with Dr. Bob and he'll give you the tools you need to dissolve your pain points quickly and effectively. Email him to find out how you can start to feel better at stressfreenow.info/contact. That's stressfreenow.info/contact.
Welcome back to Stress Free Now. We have our featured guest today, Cheryl Benton, and we are talking about her website, Three Tomatoes, and now we'll move into the new area. Cheryl, you have an amazing book. I'm just looking at the cover. It is
Bob has been enthralled with your cover, Cheryl. I have to just come in here. For some reason, I guess he's a leg man. He cannot get
yeah, I
over
was gonna say.
The photo cover.
The legs
for those
and the high heels might have something to do with that.
Yes. So for readers who have not yet seen Cheryl's book or the cover, it's that the photo of the legs and the red high heels that I think Bob that strikes. Go ahead.
Huh? What it is, Cheryl? I was describing to our last guest. We're trying to describe in words and what your cover looked like, why it was such a an amazing cover, because both Christine and I we're currently working on books. I think I have about 7 books in the hopper right now, and so one of the key things that I've been told is that you got to spend as much time on the book cover getting it right you as your content. And so what I want to tell you is that your cover pops. That's what I'm looking for, because when I saw this, if I were in a bookstore, if I were walking through Barnes & Noble and I saw this would stop me in my tracks.
So, audience, when you go to this bookstore, just be on the lookout for Can You See Us Now so that you can see that cover photo.
Yes, excellent, excellent. And so, it is a striking use of color and black and white and grayed out imagery. And so, almost... I'm feeling into your photograph that this image, like the grayed out area, takes you back to the 1930s or 40s, New York City. You know, I was reminded of a Twilight Zone episode, you know, where the plane was lost and they went back in time. And then what I don't want to give too much away about your cover, but what's amazing is that, you know, is that all I'll say is she's standing on the ledge.
Looking
it's
out on New York City, yes.
Yeah, overlooking New York City. So tell us how you came to write this book. How did you come up with the idea? And then who came up with the idea for this cover?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. Well, first of all, my husband for years has said to me, oh, you need to write a book. You know, you're so good at writing. And I was like, yeah, yada, 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 one of these days. And then I have another friend of mine who's actually a PR person and a ghostwriter. She's ghostwritten many, many books. And she had said to me quite a while ago, she said, you know, you really need to write a book around the Three Tomatoes and a book that really expresses all of the things that the Three Tomatoes is about. And I started, you know, I tucked that away. And then last year we did our first renewal summit, which we have the second one coming up for the Three Tomatoes, which is an all-day event on different topics. And one of the women on one of the panels, it was a panel on getting to next and kind of jump-starting things. And she talked about, you know, she had written a book and someone else on the panel had written a book, and then they asked other people in the audience who had written books, and some hands went up, and some other people said, well, how do you get started? And she said, basically, you know, you just have to do it. So that sort of turned on that next little key and of like, okay, I've got to get out of the thinking about this thing and actually doing it. But one of the things that had seemed to me like it was an obstacle in the beginning, because I was originally thinking of this as a nonfiction, more of an inspirational book that would touch on all the various topics that The Three Tomatoes is about, which is basically celebrating ourselves at every age and every phase of our lives and having our friends around to support us and all the different themes that, you know, we touch on in our throughout our website. And I thought about that, and then it just didn't feel right. It also felt like it's been done by other people, and we're not Oprahs. We're not dispensing advice on how to, you know, how to live your life, because I think most people that in our audience are actually doing that really quite well. And then it just suddenly occurred to me that the light bulb went off, and I thought, well, this should really be a novel, a fiction. Let's tell the story in a, you know, in a fictionalized version, but that also touches on all of these themes. But that could be a way that would hopefully be more engaging to our audience than, you know, some kind of a chapter nonfiction, you know, inspirational kind of book. So that was really how the concept for the novel came about.
And I think it really does that, Cheryl. You know, using these three women, I think there's so many readers, and I guess you could probably tell me, because you would have had more feedback on this, that it's a touchstone for many women, a different aspect of the lives of these women over time and what their experience in their marriages, at their health, that I think the reading audience would really identify with these characters.
Right. And the nice thing is that they seem to be doing that. I mean, you know, the feedback that we're getting, and even women who are saying, okay, I don't live in New York City and I didn't have a high-powered career, but I've been through so many of these things. So, you know, hopefully they are relatable. So, you know, basically it starts with the story of these three women who are all, you know, turning 50 or have recently turned 50, who had really been at the top of their careers. You know, New York City was their oyster, and then all of a sudden, you know, a series of events started to happen to each of them that was suddenly turning their lives upside down. Some of it was the realization that they were getting older and starting to feel marginalized, a couple of them in their work and jobs, but the wonderful thing is, one, they have the friendships of each other, and then they have the friendships of a broader group of women who they're very close to, who are all different ages, who are really living their lives so fully and so beautifully and really, really enjoying it. But, you know, at the heart of the book, so it tells a lot of different stories, and you're right, it's the real things people go through, you know. It's marriage issues, it's health issues, it's, you know, the
yes,
aging in
it's
our society
the word issues. It's relatable. It's relatable,
yeah.
Because it is a composite, and you're weaving in the richness of all these stories that women experience throughout their lives, you know, divorces, children, so that when you said even people who've never been to New York City, they can identify with these characters because of the life journeys that's described in the story.
Yeah, and then at the heart of it, you know, the most important thing is the importance of our friendships and the value of that in our lives. And I think the older we get, the more we appreciate those friendships too. And, you know, we were talking about the wide chats. That's why it's so important. You know, you want to keep those genuine relationships, you know, intact.
Yes, it reminds me of the, you know, the phrase, you can't go home again. Because here, you know, meeting at the bar around the martini, this is a ritual that is an anchor.
Right.
So that I think, as you and probably as we age, we look for that. What is important in life? What's significant? And at some point, you come to realize these are the touchstones that you want to be able to come back to at any time, that you want to know that, that it's there for you and it's something solid.
Yeah, exactly.
Cheryl, I want to just turn the dial just a little bit up, the thermostat up. You know, one of the beautiful things about when I cracked open your book, I said, okay, this book, I guess is written for women, but okay, so I'm a guy taking a look at this. And I read the first couple of pages, and I was blown away. I was like, oh, so here's what I mean. Right in the beginning of your book, you have this scene, because I'm looking to paint a picture for our listening audience here, that you have this scene about the women meeting for cocktails in this nice upscale place, and experiencing for the first time being ignored. I'm framing this question in a way because I believe you have a unique ability to answer this question, having been in advertising, where, as you started off at the beginning, talking about the treasured demographic 25 to 49, or whatever it is, you know, the various brackets. So could you speak to these two points, Cheryl? The first is, why is that bracket, you know, the cutoff there, and is that a correct cutoff? And then the second part is the feeling sense for your characters and in real life for people the first time they experience this sense of like, oh my gosh, I'm invisible. I remember being at a thing and it was like a board meeting. They were presenting all the board members and they didn't call on one guy. And he says, "What am I, chopped liver?"
Yes.
He's sitting there waiting to be called on, and they were ending the meeting and they didn't call on him, and so he spoke up. So.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit. Sometimes women don't speak up, though, in those things.
Exactly.
But those are two great questions, really. So the first one on the demographics, it has been, and it truly is a fallacy, but marketers have long believed that once we get over the age of 49, that we've chosen our brand, you know, we've got our favorite things that we buy, our favorite brands, and we don't change our minds about those products.
Well,
so
that's absolutely
silly. Right. So number one, that's a long-held belief. So, like, why market new things to us? Because we're not going to buy them. And then, of course, secondly, it's the, you know, only young people, and that's my two dogs standing at the door here because I had it closed and they want to come in. So you may hear a couple of whoops.
Oh, we love when that happens. That boosts our ratings. We have all the dog lovers.
Yeah, they're very cute. They just got back from a walk, but they're like,
what are their names?
Bascom and Guinness. They're
Bascom and Guinness?
Bascom and Guinness.
Oh, they heard me.
Yes.
I love it.
So, yeah, they're both rescue dogs. They're cute.
Oh,
and now
beautiful.
They're deciding to be crazy right now.
Okay.
So, so number one is that, you know, this ridiculous tenet that a lot of marketers still believe in. And, of course, the fact that, you know, so many products come out are deemed only for, you know, young people, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the fact is, though, and there are marketers who are now starting to realize this, the fact is that boomers, the boomer generation, has more disposable income than any other generation before then, and more disposable income than people younger than us.
Yes.
Yet we're not being marketed to. I mean, we still, you know, women still buy beauty products. We certainly, you know, we may have some brand loyalties, but we certainly are, you know, very, you know, happy to explore other products. But anyway, that's been a long-held belief, and people still think that too. So that's been kind of crazy. So the second question, which I now forgot because that's what I do.
Oh, well, I can refresh you on that.
Good,
I'm saying
thank you.
The moment of realization for the person that has always been able to, you know, they walk into the bar, it's their regular spot, the bartender has the drink on the counter before they even sit down, and now not only doesn't that happen, but they're like, woo-hoo, woo-yoo-hoo, and they're being ignored. So I'm saying that moment, because that's right at the beginning of your book where you have that so graphically. And so my question is about the bodily felt sense that a person would have when they experience the first time of that, have that experience. It doesn't have to be in a bar. They could be at work and they're being ignored, or in the family context, you know, they're at Thanksgiving dinner and now, you know, everybody paid attention to them, and now it's like they're invisible. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm
asking exactly.
You.
And that bar scene, by the way, that actually did happen.
Of course.
And two friends. I mean, that truly happened. And we were like, "Holy moly! When did this happen?" It's my partner in LA, who writes our LA newsletter, wrote a wonderful post for us a while ago, and it was called "When the Whistle Stop." And, you know, she talked about how, you know, when you're younger, you'd walk down the street and, you know, guys would whistle, or you'd walk by a construction site and you'd kind of feel uncomfortable. But then the day that stops, you're like, well, what happened? I just became invisible. But there's so many ways it manifests itself for, you know, for especially for women, I think. And you start to, I think that moment is different for everyone, but there's certainly a moment that's very universal when we all feel that.
Right. And I wanted to paint that image that is what will draw the reader in. So listeners, you will be drawn into this book because although it's a novel, it's based on, what did you say? It really happened. And I think, you know, everybody has been in one or more situations where, so for example, I was in a situation and this was, I was less than 25 years old. We were in Brooklyn, and I'm not going to name any names, but we were in a convertible, three guys in a convertible, and we stopped at the light, and a woman is walking across the street, and she comes up to the driver and pinches his face and says, "Oh, you're so cute." And the other, myself and the other person in the car says, "Well, what are we, invisible? You know, she didn't come and pinch us." And so this is and we were half of 50 years old. And so you know, that there's another scene from The Simpsons where the character Mo, who, you know, the guy who owns the bar, they show him in a parking mall that's filled with cars. And so what he does, he walks to the car, he gets in, he puts the car in reverse so the reverse lights come on. Well, immediately three cars position themselves to get into his parking space. So he holds it for about 15 seconds, and then he pulls in the 3 inches and turns off the car. And when they ask him, "So, Mo, why did you do that?" And he says, "Because I love to see the moment of disappointment." That's the moment when the people realize, oh, you know, our chain has been yanked, we've been faked out, and we're in, you know, so I'm saying that's the same of the moment where you see that you're now invisible. So it's a real moment in time, and it's palpable. So listeners, you know, Cheryl's book, Can You See Us Now, does that right at the beginning. So you will, you know, you do yourself a favor and consider checking out her website and this book, because it says it's a novel for grown-ups.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and it's the perceptions of our own perceptions of how we see ourselves getting old, and also, you know, the perception society has of us, but also how we're often guilty of that. I mean, think about, and I think most of us have been guilty of this. I know that I have, and I've really tried to change that perspective. But if you walk into an event or some kind of a party or a gathering, and there's someone very elderly there, do you know how often that person is completely ignored? How many times do people actually make the effort to go over and sit with that person and have a conversation with them? It's almost like they are ignored and they are invisible, and it's almost as if, you know, they would have nothing at all interesting to share with us. When in fact, when you make that effort, you find that there's usually an amazing amount of richness and great conversations that can be had. So we're all a little bit guilty of that, I think.
I think that's very true. Well, Cheryl, Bob and I want to thank you so much for being on the show today and for sharing your work with us. I think the Three Tomatoes is a wonderful remedy and antidote and counterbalance to invisibility over 40 or over 50 or whatever that over age is, because I think that need for connection and community is very strong in all of us, and you're providing a wonderful place for us to have this. So just, again, share with our audience how they can just get in touch with you, learn more about what you do.
Oh, wonderful. So thank you. It's just been such a privilege to talk to both of you. The website is thethreetomatoes.com. The three is spelled out. And our email address is tomato@thethreetomatoes.com. And, you know, we love inquiries. And the book is Can You See Us Now? And it's available at Amazon and other online booksellers.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that, Cheryl. What key idea or thought would you like to leave our audience with today?
I think it's really about celebrating our lives at every age and every stage. I think so many people fear aging instead of celebrating aging, and that's really what we're hoping to make happen with the Three Tomatoes, is we just enjoy every phase of it. And not worry about the number and not think about it as a number. Just think of every day as a new fun adventure.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Cheryl. I want to thank you again for being our featured guest. So, audience, thank you again for listening. And as you have heard, Cheryl has brought us some very unique information and insights today. So we appreciate your presence, and we hope that you have benefited in some unique way today from listening to the information that was delivered. Of course, as always, we look forward to hearing from you and especially learning comments about our show, ways to improve it, or if there are additional topics or guests you'd like us to have back, like Cheryl. So you can contact us through our website with your feedback and suggestions. Remember, the listeners, if you'd like to experience the same benefits our coaching clients get with us, including learning how you can get more results in your day and easy ways to dissolve your chronic pain, stress, and anxiety, then give us a call at 954-900-2179. Mention that you heard our Stress Free Now podcast, and you'll receive a free gift from us. For Christine Wright, this is Dr. Robert Wright, Jr. of StressFreeNow.info. Until next time, be safe and be well.